Vov Elul, Friday the 21st of August, Rabbi Yitzchak Mordechai Chizik, Adim Zomamim.
Back. The Shia today is dedicated and should be an initial Ayelet Rafal Yosef and Moshe David. With many mitzvahs in this week's parasha, I decided to pick an Indian, which is something that I've learnt quite a few times, a number of times, having learnt Makkos. I want to go through kama v'kama nekudos chashuvos about the subject of Eden Zomim. So just to set up, first of all, the Eden Zomim in jargon. So you have a case, the first set come along, they come into Beis Din, the first set, they tell Beis Din that Reuven killed Shimon on a Friday morning in a certain place, and then Reuven is the Nidan, we're going to use Reuven as an example of the Nidan, the accused, and the second set come along, after the Gemadin, after the verdict, based on where he decided to kill Reuven, the second set come along and they say to the first set, Imonu hoyisem, you were with us. You couldn't have seen this happen because on the same day, you were with us at that time in a different location. Torah says, Vasisem lo yishu to them, kasha zomam, lases lochi. Believe the second set, and we punish the first set by reciprocating and rebounding whatever punishment they plan to do to the Nidoin back onto their heads. That everyone knows. But the Gemara Bava Kama says that Edim Zomim Chiddish. Edim Zomim is a Chiddish. Why? My Chose is the Somchas Ahani. Somchas Ahani, why do you rely more on the second set more than the first set? In fact, the halacha normally is by Edim HaKchosho, when you have two sets of Edim who are disputing the fact whether Reuven did or didn't kill Shimon, the halacha is Tereo Treinin, who's two against two, and the halacha is based in Leave It. We Sophic, they don't do anything. When you've got two against two, we don't know who to believe. We don't normally believe the second set more than the first set. So Gemara says, Eidim Zomim is a Chiddush. However, in the Meforashim is Mavua, there is a difference between Eidei HaZoma and Eidei HaKchosha. There is a bit of logic as to why we should believe the second set in the case of HaZoma. Why is that? Because usually by HaKchosha, where the two sets are disputing the facts, one set says Reuven did kill Shimon, one says Reuven didn't kill Shimon. So it's two against two. Why believe the second set more than the first? But where the second set, I'm not talking about the facts. They're talking about the first set. They are saying, we don't know whether Reuven killed Shimon or not, it's irrelevant. We know you weren't there. So the second set of Edim by Hazoma are not discussing the evidence. They're discussing the Edim. It's similar to a case where the second set would come along and passel the first set of Edim and say, you're Gazonim. Or say, your Kerovim, your relatives. In such a case, we believe the second set, because the what they're discussing is not the Eidus, the testimony, they're discussing the Eidim. And the first set of Eidim haven't got the power to respond and say, no, we were there, because you can't talk about yourself. In court, one can't talk about themselves. Now the subject has become the Eidim Zomim themselves, not what they're saying, whether it's true or not, but whether they were there at their person as well. That's why there's logic to say why we believe Eidei HaZoma more than Eidei HaKchosha. Now, it's a halacha yodua in the whole of Shas, based on the dinim of Eidim Zomim, that every Eidus that comes into Beis Din has to be Eidus she'ato yochol lehazimo. It has to be Eidus. When the first set of Eidim walk into court, any set of Eidim walk into court, they have to give an Eidus which is able to be, I call this, zomamabo. What does that mean, in practical terms? Well, firstly, the first set of Edim always have to say, we saw it at a certain time, at a certain place. Because if they don't say time and location, then they're leaving themselves in a situation where no other set can come along and say, you were with us at that time, because they never gave a time and place. They have to always give a time and place. If they don't know time and place, we can't accept their Edim. Secondly, the punishment that they're trying to meet out, that they're trying to give to Reuven, has to be reboundable back to them. It has to be that if they're lying, Basin have to always think, if they're lying, is it reboundable back on them? Lamoshel, give you a moshel. Two Adim come along and say, Reuven killed Shimon, but Reuven is a trefer. Reuven's a trefer. Reuven is someone who wasn't going to live beyond 12 months. Basin have to think ahead. If this set of Adim are lying, if they're found to be Zomim, Basin can't kill them. Because the halacha is, if you kill a trefer, you're not Chayav Misa. Someone who kills a trefer is not Chayav Misa. It's not his Osa, but you know, not Chayav Misa. These two sets of, these two witnesses are trying to kill Reuven, who himself was a trefer. If they're lying, we won't kill them. So it comes out that what they're trying to do to Reuven is not reboundable. It wouldn't go back on them. Therefore, Basin can't believe them in the first place. So says Rabbi Akiva Eger in Bava Kamma. And Rabbi Akiva Eger says, the reason why Edom have to always be Zomam Abul, it's because we need the fear factor. We need the Edom to be afraid to lie. This is one of the ways that Basin always can rely on two Edom, because the Edom know that if they're caught out, it's going to happen back to them. And if they know they're safe from punishment, they know that what they're trying to do to Reuven cannot happen back to them. We can't believe them in the first place, because they have no chashash, they have no fear of lying at all. When I was much younger, a long time ago, I heard a chap kasha, which one of the Ger Rebbes, I believe it was the Chidushi Harim, as a young child, asked his father. It's a chap kasha, it's one of the typical Gera charifistiga kasha. I heard the young Chidushi Harim asked his father, he said, Lechir, every Eidos, every single Eidos, is Eidos she'iyat yochel lahazimot, Eidos which you can't be Muslim. Why is that? He said to his father, let's imagine for argument's sake, there's only one set of Edim in the world. There's a Reuven and a Shimon and a Basin and one set of Edim. They would walk into court, one set of Edim, and they would say, Reuven killed Shimon. Basin would say, sorry, we can't believe you. Why? There's no other Edim to be Mazim you. There's no one else around to be Mazim you. Therefore, we cannot believe you. It's Edus She'i Ata Yochoy Lahazim. Okay. So the Chiddush Rehim, let's say there's two sets of Edim in the world. Two sets of Edim in the world, Reuven and Shimon and the Basin. The first set walk in, and they say to Basin, Reuven killed Shimon. Basin will say, well, we could believe you, but theoretically, if the second set would come along and want to be Mazim you, we can't believe them. Because there's no one to be Mazim there. There's no one to be Mazim the Mazimin. So we can't believe the second set. Therefore, we can't believe you either, because since we can't believe the second set is going to be Mazim you, we can't believe you either. Says the Chiddush Rim, this can go on forever and ever and ever. However many witnesses you have, the last set of witnesses in the world cannot be believed, because there's no one to be Mazim them. Therefore, the second last set can't be believed either. It's a case of dominoes. Rabbi Chiddush Rehim asked, if so, every set of witnesses is Eidos She'iyat Yochel Lahazim. It's a chab kasha, and his father dealt with it. I'm not going to go into now, but it's just a nice kasha for a child to ask at such a young age.
Why can't it be believed?
The last
one.
Because the last set, there's no
one to be Muslim.
No one
to be
Muslim.
Not yet, it could be.
No, it can't be, because once you've been for all the Eidim, There's no one there. There's another very important rule by Edom Zomim. The Gemara says a few times, "Ein or Edom Zomim neharogin or meshalmin." They don't pay, or they don't get killed. Ad shiazumu shneihem, until both of them are found to be false. Both of them are told, "Imonu hoyisem, you are with us." If a second set would walk in and say only one of them was with them, then although the first set would become possible, but the halacha of kasha zamam, the halacha of reciprocation, of rebounding the punishment, wouldn't apply. Pashtus is learned from the pasuk. It says vasisem loi kasha zamam in the singular. It seems the Torah looks at the eidos as a unit, as a whole. We don't punish individual eidim; we punish the whole set of testifiers. And therefore, if only one is found to be zamam, we don't punish both. We don't punish either of them. Having said that, when we find the Edom to be Zomimim, there's a difference to how we punish them. We punish them by Momon, to how we punish them by Malkus. Now, Moshe, by Malkus, if they were trying to get Reuven Malkus, we give each of the Edom 39 Malkus. However, if they were trying to get Reuven to pay Shimon money, they said Reuven is chayv money to Shimon, and then they found to be Zomimim, the sum of money which they were trying to make Reuven pay, the Mishnah says in Malkus, we divide it. We divide it between the Edom. The Shal Shim, the Momon, the Edom only pay half or whatever. However many Edom there are, they divide it amongst themselves. Interesting. I once looked into this. The Yoreim asks a phenomenal kasha. The Yoreim says, he doesn't know where the source is in the Gemara that the money of Edom Zomim, the money which the Edom pay, actually goes to the person they accused. He says, the whole point of Eidim Zayim is, we rebound the punishment. What they were trying to do to Reuven, we do to them. Right? They were trying to give Reuven Misa, they get Misa. They're trying to get Reuven Malkus, they get Malkus. They're trying to make Reuven lose money, they should lose money. Why should it go to Reuven? It should go to Beis Din, Tzedakah. Why should it go to Reuven? In none of the other punishments, by Malkus and Misa, Reuven gets nothing for what happened. Nothing. What happens? They get the reciprocated rebounding punishment back on them. They get Malkus, they get Misa, so they should lose money. Where should it go to? It doesn't say in the Torah where the money goes to. So the Yoreim asks, how does the Gemara, everyone always take on, the money goes to, right? Why should it go to Reuven? Why should it go to him? Should it go to Stoker? The Ikki is the Edom should lose the money.
The value of money for them might be different. It's okay. Not stopping, but going back, it's exactly
okay.
Bringing them back.
Okay, but, okay. I'll tell you what I saw once. I saw an unbelievable thing, one of the Mefarshim. This interesting Rashi, Parshas Mishpatim. Rashi's talking in the Parsha of Toyin Tanaf Gamma, Veshem Echinam, who claims item was stolen and it wasn't really stolen. And the halacha is that Veshem Echinam is found that he really stole the item and he claimed it was stolen. He was Toyin Tanaf Ganeva and he was found to be guilty. Pasuk says, Asher Ashin Elohim, referring to Beis Din, Yishalem Shlam L'Re'eh. He pays to the Shomer, he pays careful, he pays a double punishment. Pays double. Like any Gamma. Rashi Kanira was bothered by the word Asher. Pasuk says, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, the one who based and find guilty, Yishalim Shnai L'Re'ehu. Now you can check it in Art Scroll. The word Asher translates as whomever. Whichever party based and will find guilty, pay kefil. Now Rashi had a question. How can you say whichever party based and find guilty? There's only one party, the Shomer. If the Shomer found guilty, he pays kefil to the Bailim. What does the word Asher? Asher seems to imply the one who. Who's that? So Rashi says as follows. Rashi, check out the Parsha Mishpatim, says Rashi. What does Asher refer to? If the Shomer found guilty, he pays kefil to the Bailim. Says Rashi, and if the Edim who are talking about the Shomer, if the Edim who are saying to the Shomer that you stole it, if they're found to be Zomimim, if they're found to be fools, then they pay Shinaim as well to the Shomer. Rashi throws in Edim Zomim in the middle of Parshas Mishpatim. From the word Asher, it implies there are two possible parties that could pay kefil. Either the Shomer or the Edim. And the Pasuk finishes off and says, Yishalem Shnayim L'Re'ehu, to his friend. Say the Mefarshim, that Rashi, that Pasuk, that's a Makor, that's a source, that Edim Zomim pay L'Re'ehu. They don't pay it to a Beis Din or Tzedakah. Some lose the money, they pay L'Re'ehu. All learned from the word Asher. Perhaps the most difficult concept of Eidim Zomim to understand, perhaps the hardest thing to understand, and today I would like to try and do it some justice, is what the Gemara Makkah says, Horgu ein neherogin. Loi horgu neherogin. That means, if the Eidim Zomim were so successful that Beis Din carried out the Gemara Din, and unfortunately Nebuch killed Reuven, and then another set came along and said to the Beis Din, how could you do that? Imonu ha-yisem, the first set with us. Ein herogin, we don't kill the first set of Edom Zomim. If they were matzliach in their plans, we don't kill them. Loi horgu, if they weren't matzliach in their plans, if they were stopped after the Gemara Din, but before Beis Din actually carried it out, the herogin, they get killed. It's puzzling on all accounts. The Gemara doesn't really say a makor, doesn't say a source. The Gemara doesn't really discuss a source. Number one. Number two, the obvious kasha is it's against the logic. Logic would dictate that you should be more punished for actions rather than thought. It's against logic. And there's another kasha as well, which we'll deal with in a minute. Let's start with the Makoros. What's the source for this din of Horgu Einerogim? So everyone knows, Rashi Alatoira says this, Rashi Makas Tafei says it as well. There's a famous phrase, Kasha Zomam, Veloi Kasha Osa. The Torah says Kasha Zomam like they plotted, Veloi Kasha Osa not like they did. I always say over, why was Guy Fawkes called a plot? Why was it called a plot? It's always called a plot of Guy Fawkes. Because he wasn't Matzliach. Had he been Matzliach, it would have been called something else. Actually, terrorism or some other name for it. They call it a plot. The definition of a plot is something which is not Matzliach. The word plot, Zomam, means plotters. The Torah says, Yochai Kasha Zomam like they plotted. And Rashi says, from here we learn, Kasha Zomam Veloi Kasha Osa. There's another Rashi somewhere else, in Makas Taf Hei, says a different Makor. Rashi says, Kasha Zomam Lasa Isla Ochiv. It only applies if the brother, the Ochiv, is still alive. is a brother. If the Ochiv is not alive anymore, he's not called Ochiv, and therefore the Eidim Al Chayiv, another Makom. Interesting, the Gemara only discusses this concept of if the Eidim are successful, we don't punish them. The Gemara discusses it only by Misa, by death. Gemara does not discuss what would happen by Malkus or by Momon, what would happen to the Eidim. The Rambam is very famous for saying, without a Makor, the Rambam says that by Malkus, the rule of Kasha Zamam Loi Kasha Osa doesn't apply, and if the Eidim are successful in getting Ruve Malkus, they get Malkus as well. And Mephorashim go to town about this, we'll see in a minute. By Momon, there's another whole discussion. Whether by Momon, if once the Eidim are successful in getting Ruve to pay to Shimon, do we make the Eidim pay back as well? Another discussion. So firstly, Pnei Yeshua says that there's a difference between the two Makoros. If you learn from Kasha Zamam, but not Kasha Osak, like Rashi Makis Tafei, that could apply to Misa, Malkus, or Momon. There's no real difference. Kasha Zamam, but not Kasha Osak. But if you learn from the Pasuk of La'ochiv, that the Pasuk says you have to do it, you have to punish the Edim like they plan to do La'ochiv, the Harei Ochiv Kaim, only if the brother is still alive, then that's only a miut by Misa. It's not necessarily a miut by Malkus and Momon. That miut only applies to Misa because it's a din in La'ochiv and La'ochiv being Kaim. The Ramban says, we don't need a source. We don't need a Makor. That Edim shouldn't be punished when they actually succeed in getting Reuven killed. Why? Because why would you want to punish them from a Kal V'Chomer? Because if already you punish the Edim for plotting, Kal V'Chomer when they actually succeed. Says the Ramban, Ein Onchin Min Hadin. We don't give punishments, we don't give based in, don't give physical punishments learnt out from a Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is useful for many other things, but you can't give Misa or Malkus based on a Kal V'Chomer. Therefore, says Ramban, we don't need a Makor. By Momon, it's interesting, Tosis Baba Kama says, Momon by money, it's never considered kasha osa. Tosis' words are, since Momon is nitin lechazora, since money can always get back, so if Reuven paid it to Shimon already, you can get it back. So Tosis says money is always considered a kasha zomam stage. Even if it's kasha osa, but because it's so easy, Malkus and Misa you can't change afterwards. But Momon, because you can bring it back, it's nitin lehashova, it's always called kasha zomam, therefore the Edim are always chayav. Tosis adds as well, that by Momon, we are oynish min hadin. Only by Malkus and Misa there's no oynish min hadin. By Momon, we do paskin Momon from Kal V'Chomer, and therefore Tosfos says, avada by Momon, we will punish the Edim, even for Kasha also as well. Before we come to discuss the logic of Kasha Zaman v'loi Kasha also, I want to mention that, can't go right without mentioning the famous Kasha of the Ur HaChaim HaKodesh, this is Parashat, the Ur HaChaim HaKodesh asks, Alon de Shekasha, he says, every Kasha Osa has got within it a Kasha Zoma. It was once at the plotting stage. So why can't you be Mechayiv, the Edim Zomim, by the Osa case, not for the Osa, but for the Zoma? Already when they plotted, even before Beis Din actually carried out the Gemar Din onto the poor Reuven, it was at the Kasha Zoma stage. Asks Erechaim, no. At that stage already, the Edim are mechayev a punishment. So who cares that it continued weiter and it went on to an osa? Be mechayev the Edim by the osa because of the zoman part in the osa. That's Ur HaChaim HaKodesh's kasha. Rav Naftali Trop is famous in the Yeshiva Shevel for saying that because kasha osa is a miut, Rashi says kasha zoman, but no kasha osa is a miut. Therefore, he says, the whole chiddush of Edim Zomim only applies by Zomim. Anyway, it's a chiddush that we believe the second set. By also, says Rav Tolle, you haven't got the chiddush. It's as if the Torah said, I'm limiting the chiddush to a Zomim case. When the Zomim translates itself into an also, there's no chiddush of Edim Zomim. And therefore we don't believe the second set at all in the case of also. It goes back to normal rules of Hakhosha, normal rules of Treya, two against two. Therefore, says Rav Tolle, in such a case, you cannot punish the first set of Edim. However, many Achronim argue Rav Tolle, and they prove from the Rambam that even in the case of Kasha also, although we don't punish the first set, but the first set are possible, because we do believe the second set more than the first set. The chiddush of Edim Zomim, that they believe the second set over the first set, applies even in Osa. says the Rambam. We just don't punish the first set, but the belief that the first set apostle happens. Therefore they dispute Rav Naftali's answer. So we'll come back to a different answer. We'll see an answer slightly later based on a Mahara. But let's now come to the big kasha. Let's talk about what's the higoyon? What's the svora? How can the Torah say, the Torah which is just and pure and yoshon, emes, how can the Torah say such a halacha? Horgu ein erogim, loy horgun erogim. So the first one to tackle the logic is the Rambam. The Heilige Rambam, this week's parasha, says as I. He says, the Eibishter sits with the Beis Din. Brings many pesukim, the Kim Nitzav Badas Kel, for Omdu Shnei Haloshim Lefnei Hashem, the Pasuk says, the Torah always refers to Beis Din as Elohim, as with Hashem. Says the Rambam, Hashem would never allow Beis Din to make such a mistake. The fact that the second set only walked in after Reuven was already killed, that's already good enough proof that Reuven deserved this punishment. You know what, says Ramban, even if Reuven didn't do that Avera, Mestomi was Chayav Misa for many other Averas anyway, if Beis Din killed him, he deserved this punishment. Says Ramban, if the Eidim would have come in before Reuven was killed, no, that's a riot, that Reuven's innocent. Ramban says, Hashem is sitting with the Beis Din, make sure they didn't make any mistakes, and therefore, Horgu, if they killed him, he probably deserved it, and therefore we don't kill them. That's Ramban's
chiddush.
100%. A lot of Mefroshim argue, ask Ramban, as Ramban Sorotkin says, it should still be punished. The fact is, Eidim Zomim, even if they're telling the truth, but if they weren't there, if they're telling the truth that Reuven was Chayav Misa, even if they're telling the truth that Reuven did the Avera which they said, but if they weren't there to see it, they're lying, and they're for the Chayav Misa. Zalman Sorotka says, Chvashtaynish to Ramban, I don't understand it. There's many cases in Makkas. More Makkas talks about how the set come along, they say Reuven killed Shimon. Second set come along, they say, you're right, Reuven did kill Shimon, but you weren't there to see it. We killed Reuven, and we killed the first set as well. So, what's Ramban mean? There are other terutzim as well. Abarbanel comes along and says, we don't want there to be a bizoyon for Beis Din. Imagine what people would say if Beis Din went and killed Reuven one day, and the next day they killed the very Eidim who got Reuven killed, they killed them as well. People would say Beis Din like a chucha v'tlula, like a joke. They're killing this one, they're killing now the people on the other side. People will say Beis Din don't know what they're doing. We find that concept in Shas a few times. Gemara often says, "Im kein ma koyach Beis Din yofer." You know, we can't chas v'shalom undermine the koyach of a Beis Din. There's a concept also of komdina. Once Beis Din has said something, the din stands. Abarbanel says, for that reason, once Beis Din a paskin, we close the case. It's a shut case that we don't talk anymore. Meiri offers a different idea. Meiri says, very novel, new approach. He says, since the Edim's avera is so bad. His loshen is huchpelo averosan. The avera is doubled. They've done edus sheker, and they've also done a misa as well. They're not worthy of receiving misa. They're too bad to punish. Beis Din Shamata can't punish them. They're too beyond punishment of Beis Din Shamata. They're more than a ritzach. They're also edus sheker as well. They're beyond the punishment. The Meiri understands that the oynish of a Beis Din is a kapora really for the person done avera. Says the Meiri, these people they're too bad for Beis Din to punish. Rashi says a similar idea, the gabba, the concept of ein oin shimon adin. The general rule of we don't punish makar v'chomer, says Rashi, you know why? Because just because we punish this guy, doesn't mean we punish the guy who's even worse. Because perhaps the guy who's even worse doesn't deserve a punishment for Beis Din. He deserves to be taken care of by Hashem in the right time. The Kesef Mishnah compares this to the halacha of Moilech. By Moilech, the halacha is, one who gives one child to Moilech, to the avodah zorah of Moilech, gets killed, chayav misa. Noisim kol zara in a moilech, says a Gemara. Potter. Where's the logic? Because Mishnah is the same thing. To give kol zara in a moilech, it's too chomer for Beis Din to punish. The Meshech Chochma, he says a different idea. He says, let's imagine what the halacha would be if Beis Din would kill even after Horgu, even after the Reuven was killed, if they would kill the Edim Zomim, he says it would be an endless game. What would happen is, the Edim would get Reuven killed, the family of Reuven would be angry with the Edim, they would hire more further witnesses to now be Mazim Reuven to get Reuven killed. Then the family of the witnesses would be Mazim, it was just, the Hazom would carry on, it would just be endless game. Says the Meshech Chochma. However, now that the Torah said that once Reuven is killed, it's case closed, if the family of Reuven are going to try rescue Reuven with Edei Sheker, they'll be much better off doing Hakchosha. They would hire sets of witnesses to be makhish the first set if they wanted to defend Reuven, because that way Reuven goes out scot-free and the Edim don't get killed either. So it makes sense for the Torah to say we only punish Hazama before actually it's carried out. Because if we do punish Hazama for being carried out, it's going to carry on forever. That's the Meshchokhma's idea. Idea number five, the Tumim. Tumim Benis Aibashitz is a very interesting idea. He says the Chiddush that if the Baldova would be Moida, he would be Moida in front of Beis Din and say, you know what? The first set is right. I did do the Avera, and they were there to watch me. So if he agrees to the first Edim, says the Tumim, we wouldn't kill the first set. Despite the second set saying Imono Yisem, if the Baldova Alein, if Reuven Alein, the Nidon would say the first set are right, we would go with the Baldova, not kill the first set. Says the Tumim, if Beis Din killed Reuven, and now the second set come along and Mazin Reuven, how do we know that if Reuven would have been alive, maybe he would have got up and said the first set are right? Maybe he would have. The fact that he kept quiet when he was alive was because he tried to protect his own skin. But once he would have seen that the two Edim are going to be killed, perhaps he would have gone up and been Moida. Therefore, misofik, we cannot kill the first set because the halacha, the Beis Din have to be 100% before they're killed. And therefore, we don't kill the first set in case the Baldova Reuven would have been Moida. The Maharal says the final answer to explain the concept of Horgu Ein Harogin. Maharal says that the whole idea of Edim Zayimim is not just a punishment. It's a metzias, it's a fact, and he goes into great depth to explain that someone who has a bad machshava on someone else, and the machshava doesn't carry out into a fruition, doesn't actually translate itself, the machshava rebounds back to the person, the choshed himself. He proves it from many places. Choshed b'ksheirim loike b'gufo, he says the Maharal. The concept of Megillah says, Toshuv machshavto yashe choshav ala Yehudim al roisho, the concept of rebounding back onto the person who thought about something. Maral says, it's a metzias in the way Hashem made the world. Bad machshavas hang there in the air, come back. He gives a moshul. He says, if you throw a stone at something, and the thing that you throw it at can't be mekabel the stone, what happens? It bounces back onto the person. Says Maral, Masha Enkein, once the machshava translated itself and carried out and actually happened, there's no more machshava anymore. Then, unfortunately, it's happened. It's been a bad maisa. And Maral says you can't kill for that maisa that happened because it wasn't a maisa be a daim. The edim didn't do it. Tzricha be a daim. It's not something punishable. So when it's kasha also, you can't punish because the maisa the edim haven't done tzricha. Kasha zomam, he said, it's not punishment. It's a metzias. It's a metzias that bad machshavas be bound back onto the choshev himself. That Maral, they answer also the kasha of Eracham HaKodesh. Because Eracham HaKodesh said every single kasha also should be punished, as we asked before, because of the kasha Zamam. According to Maral, it's not a kasha. Because according to Maral, the whole kasha Zamam only works if the machshava is still tolui v'oimet. If the machshava is still there pending, then it bounces back onto the choshev, onto the person thinking. But once the machshava has carried itself out, there's no more machshava anymore. There's only maisa. For the maisa you can't kill, it's not maisa b'yadayim. The machshava is not there anymore. No, the whole idea doesn't work. Can't rebound it back once it's also. Just to finish with one beautiful little kasha. Some of the Farshim ask that when it's a case of kasha also, when the Edim actually get Reuven killed, who's the one to kill Reuven? The Edim alein, shtei devach pasha, yado Edim tiyeboi b'rishoina. So why don't we kill the Edim al tzritzicha? Don't kill the Edim al kasha zaman. Don't kill them because Edim zaman. And once you hear from the second set, Imono Yisem, even if it's too late, even if Reuven's killed, let's kill the first set, not Midin Kasha Zoma, not Midin Kasha Osa, Midin Retzach. Yad Oed. So one before she comes along and says, no. But there was no Hasra. There was no Hasra, there was no warning. Now the Gemara Marcus asked the same Kasha. Gemara says, hang on a second, how can you ever kill Edim Zemim? There was no Hasra for Edim Zemim either. However, the Gemara says, there's no warning. They don't necessarily warn them when they're giving the eight testimony lechatchilah that if you're lying, they don't say that necessarily. But the Gemara says, don't need to say that. Why? Because the person they were trying to be made on also didn't get Hasra. The Gemara says, it's all part of the Kasha Zomam. The person they were trying to be made against didn't get Hasra. Therefore, within Kasha Zomam, they also don't need Hasra. That's only if you're judging within Kasha Zomam. If you're trying to judge them as Ritzeach, as Ritzicha, because they threw the guy off the roof and they get now the Tier Boy Brishono, for that you have to have Asra, and there's no Asra, therefore you can't punish him.